for the world. So I think those are two like really great sources. If someone wanted to dip their toes into doing a little bit more study on what's going on.
Escaping the matrix.
Escaping the
matrix. If you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take the red spark pill.
Yeah, take the red spark pill. Awesome. Okay. Let's play some messages and then we'll get into Roomy after this. This was Radio Free Davis. Thank you so much for tuning in. South Korea next week.
Famous dance of the pyramids.
The KDVS entertainment calendar includes daily listings of live music events in Davis, Sacramento, and the San Francisco Bay Area.
That's entertainment. That's entertainment.
I made a sandblasted glass picture frame at the craft center.
I made some beautiful glass beads at the craft center.
I made a wooden drum at the craft center.
I teach camera and I teach printing at the craft center.
I made a desk and a bed at the craft center.
I manage the jewelry and welding labs at the craft center.
I made a fireplace at the craft center.
I teach paper making at the craft center.
I made an oil burning lamp at the craft center.
I teach wheel throwing at the craft center.
I made an engagement ring at the craft center.
I'm making bowls and vases at the craft center.
I made a blanket at the craft center.
I made a kite at the craft center.
I'm planning on making lots of things at the craft center.
I made a humidor at the craft center.
I teach wood shop safety review at the craft center.
I made a silver frog at the craft center.
I made one bike, 11 ceramic bowls, 4 pieces of wooden furniture, 12 screen printed t-shirts, 2 computer images, 4 bronze sculptures, and 8 friends at the craft center.
Where can I find out more?
Come on over or go online, http://campusrecreation.ucdavis.edu, and click on craft center.
Fridays for Future is a global movement of school strikers calling for urgent action on climate change. Every Friday, school children across the world strike from school for their futures, calling for leaders to unite behind the science, follow with the Paris Agreement, and keep global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. For more information, go to FridaysForFuture.org.
Here at KDVS, we're searching for a few public affairs hosts.
Imagine talking on air with underrepresented communities.
Reviewing movies.
Or even singing live karaoke. In case you're wondering, anyone is eligible.
And as you can tell, the possibilities are endless.
If you're interested, please email us at programming@kdvs.org.
A national survey by Sears, the W...
Hello, hello, hello. DJ Sunday Gravy and I return for Roomy, Roomy, Roomy. This is KDVS Davis, 90.3 FM. And the following views presented in this half hour do not reflect the views of KDVS, KDVS sponsors, or the University of California. For those who have never listened to Roomy, Roomy, Roomy before, it's actually the best show at KDVS, little known fact. Nobody talks about this. But I believe it was Francisco Dominguez who said, radio and poetry, a tale as old as time. And, you know, we're writing the newest chapter, if you will. Yeah. Rumi being the, I want to say 15th century Persian Sufi poet. Sufi being a sect of Islam, commonly referred to as Islamic mysticism, one that emphasizes one's personal relationship and devotion to God as though it were romantic in nature. Rumi's poetry focuses on matters such as death, life, love, existence, and basic lessons. And sometimes they're just stories, which I really like about Rumi because, you know, it's like a short story that you're just cracking into. You're like, what's going to happen next? Then you move on, and there's a lesson you get out of it. So, hey, my children are going to hear Rumi to bed. The appropriate ones.
The appropriate ones.
The appropriate ones, because there are some that are
Which
not.
Are the only ones that our listeners are going to hear today.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Where are we starting today?
We will be starting at Chapter 22 of Coleman Barks' The Essential Rumi. Green ears everywhere, children running through. Do you want to read the first poem?
Sure. Are we skipping the Coleman Barks?
Yeah, let's
yeah,
skip
I
it.
Don't like how this one starts either.
Yeah.
I'm going to say how it starts so the listeners understand.
Go for
I'm
it.
I'm not reading it. In China, they tell of three laughing Taoist masters. Okay. Now enough Coleman Barks.
Shut up, Coleman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. The first poem is untitled. Here it is. I used to be shy. You made me sing. I used to refuse things at table. Now I shout for more wine. In somber dignity, I used to sit on my mat and pray. Now children run through and make faces at me.
This is Green Ears. There was a long drought. Crops dried up. The vineyard's leaves turned black. People were gasping and dying like fish, thrown up on shore and left there. But one man was always laughing and smiling. A group came and asked, "Have you no compassion for this suffering?" He answered, "To your eyes, this is a drought. To me, it's a form of God's joy. Everywhere in this desert I see green corn, growing waist high, a sea wilderness of young ears, greener than leeks. I reach to touch them. How could I not? You and your friends are like Pharaoh, drowning in the red sea of your body's blood. Become friends with Moses and see this other river water. When you think your father is guilty of an injustice, his face looks cruel. Joseph, to his envious brothers, seemed dangerous. When you make peace with your father, he will look peaceful and friendly. The whole world is a form for truth. When someone does not feel grateful to that, the form appears to be as he feels. They mirror his anger, his greed, and his fear. Make peace with the universe. Take joy in it. It will turn to gold. Resurrection will be now. Every moment, a new beauty. And never any boredom. Instead, this abundant pouring, noise of many springs in your ears. The tree limbs will move like people dancing who suddenly know what the mystical life is. The leaves snap their fingers like they're hearing music. They are! A sliver of a mirror shines out from under a felt covering. Think how it'll be when the whole thing is open to the air and the sunlight. There's some mysteries that I'm not telling you. There's so much doubt everywhere, so many opinions, that say, what you announce may be true in the future, but not now. But this form of universal truth that I see says, this is not a prediction. This is here in this instant, cash in the hand. This reminds me of the son, Uzair, who were out on the road looking for their father. Oh, the sons of Uzair, who were out on the road looking for their father. They had grown old, and their father had miraculously grown young. They met him, and he asked, pardon us, sir, but have you seen Uzair? We heard that he's supposed to be coming along this road today. Yes, said Uzair. He's right behind me. One of the sons replied, that's good news. The other fell on the ground. He had recognized his father. What do you mean, news? We're already inside the sweetness of his presence. To your minds, there is such a thing as news, whereas to the inner knowing, it's all in the middle of its happening. To doubters, this is a pain. To believers, it's a gospel. To the lovers and the visionary, it's life as it's being lived. The rules of faithfulness are just the door and the doorkeeper. They keep the presence from being interrupted.
I'll jump in. Being faithful is like the outside of a
being fruit. Unfaithful.
Being unfaithful is like the outside of a fruit peeling. It's dry and bitter because it's facing away from the center. Being faithful is like the inside of, is like the inside of the peeling, wet and sweet. But the place for peelings is the fire. The real inside is beyond sweet and bitter. It is the source of deliciousness. This can't be said. I'm drowning in it. Turn back and let me cleave a road through water like Moses. This much I will say and leave the rest hidden. Your intellect is in fragments like bits of gold scattered over many matters. You must scrape them together so the royal stamp can be pressed into you. Cohere and you'll be as lovely as Samarkand with its central market or Damascus. Grain by grain, collect the parts. You'll be more magnificent than a flat coin. You'll be a cup with carvings of the king around the outside. The friend will become bread and spring water for you, a lamp and a helper, your favorite dessert and a glass of wine. Union with that one is grace. Gather the pieces so I can show you what it is. That's what talking is for, to help us be one. Manyness is having 60 different emotions. Unity is peace and silence. I know I ought to be silent, but the excitement of this keeps opening my mouth as a sneeze or a yawn does. Muhammad says, I ask forgiveness 70 times a day, and I do the same. Forgive me. Forgive my talking so much. But the way God makes mysteries manifest quickens and keeps the flow of words in me continual. A sleeper sleeps with his bedclothes drink in the river water. The sleeper dreams of running around looking for water and pointing in the dream to mirages. Water, there, it's that there. That keeps him asleep. In the future, in the distance, those are illusions. Taste the here and the now of God. This present thirst of yours is your real intelligence, not the back and forth mercurial brightness. Discursiveness dies and gets put in the grave. This contemplative joy does not. Scholarly knowledge is a vertigo, an exhausted famousness. Listening is better. Being a teacher is a form of desire, a lightning flash. Can you ride to walk far up the Oxus River on a streak of lightning? Lightning is not guidance. Lightning simply tells the clouds to weep, cry a little. The streak lightning of our minds comes so that we'll weep and long for our real lives. A child's intellect says, I should go to school. But that intellect cannot teach itself. A sick person's mind says, go to the doctor, but that doesn't cure the patient. Some devils were sneaking up close to heaven, trying to hear the secrets when a voice came, get out of here, go to the world, listen to the prophets. Enter the house through the door, it's not a long way. You are empty reeds, but you can become sugarcane again, if you'll listen to the guide. When a handful of dirt was taken from the hoofprint of Gabriel's horse and thrown inside the golden calf, the calf lowed. That's what the guide can do for you. The guide can make you live. The guide will take your falcon's hood off. Love is the falconeer, your king. Be trained by that. Never say or think, I am better than whoever. That's what Satan thought. Sleep in the spirit tree's peaceful shade and never stick your head out from that green.
Long one.
Yeah. I like it.
I quite like it.
Yeah.
It's a good message.
My favorite part is where he's talking about collecting the fragments like bits of gold scattered over many matters. You must scrape them together so the royal stamp can be pressed into you.
Mm-hmm.
That was beautiful.
I agree. I can cover the next three because they're all short and untitled. And then you'll pick up an untitled one. And then, yeah, that sounds good, right? Does that sound good to you?
Sure.
Or
we can just alternate. There's four that are really short here.
Yeah, true. Okay, we'll just alternate then. This one's untitled. Birdsong brings relief to my longing. I'm just as ecstatic as they are, but with nothing to say. Please, universal soul, practice some song or something through me.
This one is also untitled. The way of love is not a subtle argument. The door there is devastation. Birds make great sky circles of their freedom. How do they learn it? They fall, and falling, they're given wings. Is this continuing? Or?
No, it's separate, because it's got the leaf, yeah. Let your throat song be clear and strong enough to make an emperor fall full-length suppliant at the door. Don't like that one.
new poem. I have phrases and whole pages memorized, but nothing can be told of love. You must wait until you and I are living together. In the conversation we'll have, then be patient, then.
New poem. You've so distracted me. Your absence fans my love. Don't ask how. Then you come near. Do not, I say, and do not, you answer. Don't ask why. This delights me.
Okay, I have a historical question.
Yeah.
I think in the first long one that we read, they were talking about talking.
They're talking about what?
Talking.
Talking, sure.
And they just talked about it in the previous two poems.
Yeah.
Was there some story about Rumi speaking for like a month or something with his friend or something like that? Or
Shams, yeah. I mean, it's said that upon their like initial introduction, they were like so obsessed with each other and were inseparable that they essentially just talked, not like one of them talked straight for a month, but they talked back and forth for a month. And the story of how they meet is pretty interesting too. I believe like Shams of Tabriz, some speculate might have been Rumi's lover, others say was just like really good friend of his. Others say like a teacher. I think like Shams was definitely older than him. I believe that's a fact. It's said that Shams had a dream and God told him to go to where Rumi was living. I think it might have been Damascus. I don't remember exactly where he was. But essentially told him to go to where Rumi was. He found Rumi and they were like that ever since. Until Rumi's son killed him.
Jealous.
Yep. No, genuinely, yes.
There was a poem that we read last week about, I think, a guy who goes to, was it Cairo?
Yep.
Because he's told in a dream and then he meets a police officer who said, I was told to go to your house in my dream.
I'm pretty sure that was inspired because I think that's what the legend says for Rumi and Shams. Like, they were both fated to meet.
Yeah.
And they completed each other's world.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, this next poem is called I'm Not Saying This Right. You blind me and I tear away in a rage to open out into air, around brightness, a candle point, all reason, all love. This confusing joy you're doing, this hangover, your tender thorn. You turn to look, I turn. I'm not saying this right. I am a jailed crazy who ties up spirit women. I am Solomon. What goes comes back. Come back. We never left each other. A disbeliever hides disbelief, but I will say his secret. More and more awake, getting up at night, spinning and falling in love for Shams.
Speak of the devil.
Speak of the devil.
Oh my God. Yeah. All right. This is the least figure. I tried to think of some way to let my face become yours. Could I whisper in your ear a dream I've had? You're the only one I've told this to. You tilt your head laughing as if, I know the trick you're hatching, but go ahead. I'm an image you stitch with gold thread on a tapestry. The least figure, a playful addition. But nothing you work on is dull. I'm part of the beauty. I like that one.
This is the last poem of the chapter. It's short and untitled. I reach for a piece of wood. It turns into a lute. I do some meanness. It turns out helpful. I say one must not travel during the holy month. Then I start out and wonderful things happen.
Beautiful. We're now in chapter 23 of Coleman Burke's The Essential Rumi. This is called Being Woven, Communal Practice. I'll get us started. This is titled Of Being Woven. Bear in mind, Rumi didn't title any of these. This is all Coleman Burke's. The way is full of genuine sacrifice. The thickets blocking the path are anything that keeps you from that. Any fear that you may be broken to bits like a glass bottle. This road demands courage and stamina. Yet it's full of footprints, who are these companions. They're rungs in your ladder. Use them. With company, you quicken your ascent. You may be happy enough going along, but with others, you'll get farther and faster. Someone who goes cheerfully by himself to the customs house to pay his traveler's tax will go even more lightheartedly when friends are with him. Every prophet sought out companions. A wall standing alone is useless, but put three or four walls together, and they'll support a roof and keep the grain dry and safe. When ink joins with a pen, then the blank paper can say something. Rushes and reeds must be woven to be useful as a mat. If they weren't interlaced, the wind would blow them away. Like that, God paired up creatures and gave them friendship. This is how the fowler and the bird were arguing about hermetic living and Islam. to prolong debate. Hissam, shorten their controversy. Make the Mathnawi more nimble and less lumbering. Agile sounds are more appealing to the heart's ear.
This one is called The Water Wheel. Stay together, friends. Don't scatter and sleep. Our friendship is made of being awake. The water wheel accepts water and turns and gives it away, weeping. That way it stays in the garden, whereas another roundness rolls through a dry riverbed looking for what it thinks it wants. Stay here, quivering with each moment like a drop of mercury.
This is The Granary Floor. A Sufi was wandering the world. One night, he came as a guest to a community of Sufis. He tied up his donkey in the stable and then was welcomed to the head of the days. They went into deep meditation and mystical communion, he and these friends. For such people, a person's presence is more to learn from than a book. A Sufi's book is not composed with ink and alphabet. A scholar loves and lives on the marks of a pen. A Sufi loves footprints. He sees those in stalks as game. At first, he sees the clues. After a time, he can follow the scent. To go guided by fragrance is 100 times better than following tracks. A person who is opening to the divine is like a door to a Sufi. What might appear a worthless stone to others, to hims, a pearl. You see your image clearly in a mirror. A sheikh sees more than that in a discarded brick. Sufi masters are those whose spirits existed before the world. Before the body, they lived many lifetimes. Before seeds went into the ground, they harvested wheat. Before there was an ocean, they strung pearls. While the great meeting was going on about bringing human beings into existence, they stood up to their chins in wisdom water. When some of the angels opposed creation, the Sufi sheikhs laughed and clapped among themselves. Before materiality, they knew what it was like to be trapped inside matter. Before there was a night sky, they saw Saturn. Before wheat grains, they tasted bread. With no mind, they thought. Immediate intuition to them is the simplest act of consciousness. What to others would be epiphany, much of our thought is of the past or the future. They're free of those. Before a mine is dug, they judge coins. Before vineyards, they know the excitements to come. In July, they feel December. In unbroken sunlight, they find shade. In fauna, the state where all objects dissolve, they recognize objects. The open sky drinks from their circling cup. The sun wears the gold of their generosity. When two of them meet, they are no longer two. They are one in 600,000. The ocean waves are their closest likeness. When wind makes from unity, the numerous... Wait. When wind... Okay. The ocean waves are their closest likeness. When wind makes from unity, the numerous. This happened to the sun, and it broke into rays through the window into bodies. The discus sun of the sun does exist, but if you see only the ray bodies, you may have doubts. The human-divine combination is a oneness, plurality, the apparent separation into rays. Friend, we're traveling together. Throw off your tiredness. Let me show you one tiny spot of the beauty that cannot be spoken. I'm like an ant that's gotten into the granary, ludicrously happy and trying to lug out a grain that's way too big.
I didn't like it at the start, but by the halfway point, I was hooked.
I came around to it, yeah.
Yeah. This one is called A Song About a Donkey. The following is about the dangers of imitating others in your spiritual life. Meet the friend on your own. Try to dissolve out of selfishness into a voice beyond those limits. A wandering Sufi came with his donkey to a community of Sufis who were very poor. He fed the donkey and gave it water, left it with his servant, and went inside. Immediately, a group of the resident Sufis sold the donkey and bought food and candles for a feast. There was a jubilation in the monastery. No more patience and 3-day fasting. If you are rich and full-fed, don't laugh at the impulsiveness of the poor. They were not acting from their souls, but they were acting out of some necessity. The traveler joined in the festivities. They paid constant attention to him, caressing him, honoring him. The sema began. There was smoke from the kitchen, dust from the feet hitting the floor, and ecstasy from the longing of the dancers. Their hands were waving, their foreheads swept low across the dais, and it had been a long wait for such an occasion. Sufis always have to wait a long time for their desire. That's why they're such great eaters. The Sufi who feeds on light, though, is different. But there's only one of those in 1,000. The rest live under that one's protection. The sema ran its course and ended. The poet began to sing a deep grief song. The donkey is gone, my son, your donkey is gone. Everyone joined in, clapping their hands and singing over and over, the donkey is gone, my son, your donkey is gone. and the visiting Sufi sang more passionately than all the rest. Finally, it was dawn, and they parted with many goodbyes. The banquet room was empty. The man brought out his baggage and called to his servant, "Where's my donkey?" "Look at you. What do you mean? They sold your donkey. That's how we had such a celebration. Why didn't you come and tell me? Several times I came near, but you were always singing loud, 'The donkey's gone, the donkey's gone,' that I thought you knew. I thought you had a secret insight. Yes, it was my imitation of their joy that caused this. Even the good delight of friends is at first a reflection in you. Stay with them until it becomes a realization. The imitation here came from the man's desire to be honored. It deafened him to what was being so constantly said. Remember, there's only one reason to do anything. A meeting with a friend is the only real payment."
I think this should be the last one we're going to do. This is Elephant in the Dark. Some Hindus have an elephant to show. No one has ever seen an elephant. They bring it at night to a dark room. One by one, we go in the dark and come out saying how we experience the animal. One of us happens to touch the trunk, a water pipe kind of creature. Another, the ear, a very strong, always moving, back and forth fan animal. Another, the leg. I find it still, like a column on a temple. Another touches the curved back, a leathery throne. Another, the cleverest, feels the tusk, a rounded sword made of porcelain. He's proud of his description. Each of us touches one place and understands the whole in that way. The palm and the fingers, feeling in the dark, are how the senses explore the reality of the elephant. If each of us held a candle there, and if we went in together, we could see it.
I like it. I don't, like, I've heard the, what is it, like, a bunch of blind men are touching the elephant, and they all describe it differently. But I thought this was a more poetic way to do that.
Maybe he's the one who coined it.
It's true.
You know?
I feel like it's probably older, TBH.
You really think so?
You don't think so?
I think it's like...
This is from when, like, the 1300s? Or 1200s, 13th century, excuse me.
Is it 13th century? I forget. At the beginning of the show, I said Rumi was like 15th century, but that's probably wrong.
Born in 1207.
1248. The poem is from 1248. So 13th century. No, 1248 is when Rumi and Shams are talking for a while. So Rumi is 13th century, for sure. So yeah, correction to the earlier statement.
Yeah, this is a very old thing.
Whatever.
500 BCE.
500 BCE?
Hinduism, Buddhism, yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. I'm willing to believe that instead of saying a Hindu has an elephant, he probably meant an Indian. But that's just an interpretation thing. But that was Rumi, Rumi, Rumi. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you.
I'm DJ Drainfield.
DJ Sunday Gravy.
We'll be returning next week. Bye for now.
everybody. Good morning. Hope you're having a nice Thursday morning out there in the Sacramento Valley. You are listening to KWS Davis 90.3 FM. I am the Stargazer. I am sitting in for DJ Caracal and her show Caracara Bazaar. Hope you're all doing well out there. I'm going to keep it, hold down the fort here for the next couple hours. If you want to call in for any type of requests, the number is 530-754-KDVS. It's 530-754-5387. If you want to just call and say hello, that's fine too. And like I said, if you have any quests, I will definitely try and squeeze it in for you. We're just going to cut right into it while I get settled here. You are listening to KDVS Davis 90.3 FM, your listener-supported freeform radio for Northern California.